Scripture reading for this morning's meditation is recorded for us in the book of Hebrews, the 4th chapter, beginning with verse 11. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from God's sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. You may be seated. Back in 1895, a professor over in Germany, a scientist, discovered what we would think of today as X-ray, and a way of using light in such a way to peer inside of something. He won a Nobel Prize in physics for it a year later. Thomas Edison attempted to create an X-ray light bulb. If you imagine that, having a light bulb in your house that would be an X-ray light. How scary that would be. His assistant, when he was working with X-rays, his assistant volunteered to have his hand and arm exposed to the light that was being used in the X-ray, and years later had to have that arm amputated, and sad to say, died at the age of 39. But it was the beginning of an entirely new world in the study of physiology, the human body, and there were so many things that were learned because of this ability now to look inside of the human physical body. And when my dad was a little boy in the 1930s in Chicago, he remembers going down to the Buster Brown Shoe Company, and they had an X-ray machine you could stand on and look at the bones in your feet. And he would stand on there for 20 minutes at a time while his brothers were getting shoes. He lived to be 96, so I don't know, but but if you've ever had an X-ray, and probably at least at the dentist maybe, it's kind of strange to think that somebody else can peer inside of your physical body and see something that you've never seen, that somebody can actually look inside of you, whether it's organs or your mouth or your bone structure, and to see things that you yourself have never seen. And in the physical realm of who we are, who you are, that's kind of an interesting thing. And it's hopefully always used for our good and for our benefit. Let's talk about the spiritual realm. Let's talk about our souls, our consciences, and our hearts. If you're honest, you have probably, like me, become very good, very adept at concealing the real thoughts that are in your mind when you go about things or when you say certain things. Let's call it your agenda, okay? We talk about people having a secret or a hidden agenda. And just like an actor, we saw a great play last weekend, just like an actor can dress up in certain costumes to cover up themselves, that's sort of how we can sometimes be with our secret hidden agendas inside of ourselves. The real things, the real motivations that are sometimes stirring in us, we learn as we get older, especially, how to cover these up and how other people don't really see down inside of us. I remember when I was a little child, I was very capable of lying to my parents, but doing it in such a way and maybe giving them the sad eyes so that they thought that I had some other reason for asking for something. Sometimes we try to manipulate people by saying things in a certain way. Sometimes as adults, we can even act very concerned about other people and want to know what's going on with them. But maybe our real motivation is that somebody might think, wow, what a nice Christian person that is so thoughtful of others. Maybe we can be very outwardly friendly to somebody, but our hidden internal reason for it is a sexual desire. Maybe we can be even very meticulous at our job and trying to show up as a really good employee, hoping to get praise or maybe have bragging rights over other people that we work with, or maybe just to get a higher wage and a better salary. In conversation, sometimes we can pretend to sound very concerned about an individual and yet maybe have other motives inside. Or even turning to look at something in like a landscape or someplace, and actually you're trying to look at someone's body. Or maybe expressing gratitude to someone, but the real motivation is you're hoping they'll like you more so they'll give you more of something you want. There are a lot of different ways inside of us in the spiritual realm, sometimes things we don't even think through ourselves, that really have a sinful motive to them. And no X-ray machine can find that in you or me. There's no MRI machine or something that we can go over to the Mayo Clinic here and Mayo Hospital and have them find this inside of us. But our text reminds us that God knows all of this about us. He's able to peer right down into your conscience, your heart, your soul, like he does with me. There's a great story where, if you remember in the Bible, Jesus, it's just a little bit before he goes to die on the cross, and a woman comes to him in front of his disciples and others, and she has a bottle of very, very expensive ointment, and she starts to anoint him, and is almost preparing him for his upcoming death. And Jesus' disciple, Judas, makes a very interesting comment in this little group. He says, well, why wasn't this given to the poor? And I'm sure there were a lot of people maybe who heard that in the room that day and thought, well, that was really nice of Judas to think about the poor at a time like this and to be concerned about them. But this is what the Holy Spirit says, who's able to look down inside of him. He said this because he was a thief. He was covering up a different motive. He wanted the money maybe to be given to Jesus, which he took care of, because he was filtering funds off of the top. The description of God's word in front of us is kind of intimidating if you think about it, if you're honest with yourself. It's living, he says. It's powerful. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. It cuts right through the flesh, the bone, the marrow, right down into my conscience. Right down into my soul and the guts of my spiritual life. It says, all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. God is capable to just rip through everything else and get right down to our hidden agendas and look inside of us, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. We don't even know what that is. Joints and marrow. So deep inside of you that you and I have never seen that part of ourselves. This passage, this first paragraph, if you look at it, would just be absolutely terrifying to everybody in this room if it were not for the next paragraph. The next paragraph presents us with the most beautiful, wonderful answer to all of this. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, writing about Christ, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. This Christian faith that we have, you better not let go of it. Because without him, all God sees is this wickedness in me. He says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Our high priest, Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God himself, who came into this world to be our Savior, he was tempted just like you are, just like I am, and yet he didn't cave into them the way you and I have. But the same way that the high priest in the Old Testament times, once a year on the Day of Atonement, had to go behind that big curtain in the temple and stand in front of God and all of his holiness and justice on behalf of all of the people, that's what Jesus Christ himself now has come to do for you. He has come to put a buffer between you and the God that sees right down inside of you. He has come to be the mediator, the one that stands between you and this holy, vicious, angry God who hates sin. And God instead decided to pour out his wrath and vengeance and justice on this one man and let you walk. Let it not fall on you. That's why our Lord Jesus Christ had to go to the cross, and he calls out to God from the cross, my God, why have you abandoned me? Why have you forsaken me? That's what I deserve. That's what you deserve, to be forsaken because of all the rot inside of us. But Christ took that wrath from God into himself. Let it burn him. Let it cause him to lose his limbs. Burn down inside of him to feel the judgment of God so you and I would never, ever, ever have to know what that feels like. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Whatever I just brought up in the first part of my sermon that has made you uncomfortable, and trust me, I'm writing this for me. Whatever has made us feel uncomfortable in front of a holy God, be assured of this today. You have a Savior. God himself, think of it, God himself decided, I'm going to punish my own Son instead of you so he could forgive you, so that you could be a holy, perfect soul in front of him, not because of you, but because of what his Son has done for you. And God decided to carry out all of his just wrath on that one man, Jesus Christ, instead of you. So because of this, how does God now, who knows everything about us, how does he call, how does he talk to us? How does he invite us? Listen, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Notice, it's not a throne of judgment anymore. It's not a throne of God's wrath. It's a throne of grace. Therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, think about it. This is the God that knows everything about you, who's able to peer inside of you deeper than you know yourself. And yet, how does he speak to you? Come boldly to my throne of grace. Come and call on me. I am here as your gracious and merciful and loving God. He doesn't just invite you to come to him because of Christ, but he invites you to come boldly to the throne of grace. Even when you and I are at our worst, God invites us to come boldly. The Greek word there means to come with absolutely no fear of speaking, to have nothing but absolute confidence. One of my favorite Bible passages is Romans 8, verse 1. I'm going to close with that today. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Stay in him. Amen. Let us rise and join in our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.